drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in.
Gee, I wonder what this really means. That's my dog, Pepper. So I'm getting to walk her every day, which is good. I try to walk her every day, but that's a good reason to get out of the house. I just wonder if we're all going to go mad, really. Sometimes we've got short tempers, so it's just that whole thing. We just hope we're all going to be cool and get through it all.
That's the voice of Alex, a librarian and father who's taking part in a global citizen history project about coronavirus and sending a message to the people of the future. The project is called the Journal of the Plague Year, an archive of COVID-19. People around the world are being invited to send their thoughts about what it's like to live through a pandemic. At the same time, another project wants ordinary Australians from all over the country, not just the inner suburbs, to take a photo of their pandemic-era lives for an online time capsule and public exhibition. Both are projects that have their coordinators jumping out of their skins with enthusiasm, from home, of course. I've had to organise a fair bit of chamomile tea for Fiona Sweet, the artistic director of the Ballarat International Photo Biennale, and Professor Andrew May from the University of Melbourne's History Department to get them to chill out. And if it doesn't work, I've got my old high school history teacher on standby to read to them and to make their eyes glaze over like mine used to. Fiona and Andy, welcome and thanks for dropping in.
Absolute pleasure.
Fiona.
Yes, my pleasure too.
Have I given you too much tea? Do I need to send you sort of a double espresso or something?
Oh, no, I had the espresso in the morning, of course, and then, of course, it's after two, so tea is perfect.
Andy, was your old high school history teacher anything like mine?
Well, if they were inspirational, I think that's the best thing we can hope for, isn't it?
Yes, inspiration is what we go for. Andy, the project, the Journal of the Plague Year, was started by social historians at Arizona State University. Why did you contact them to start an Australian arm of the project?
Yeah, look, I noticed their website and I just thought, what a wonderful public history, citizen heritage project. And I think it just really touched a nerve with me that actually people really want to, I think, contribute to something bigger than themselves as a way of understanding in real time what is going on. But also, if in so doing that leaves a paper trail for the future, then that seemed like a wonderful opportunity.
What information are you hoping people will share?
We're basically encouraging anyone to document how COVID-19 is affecting their lives, and that can be an image, a photo, a tweet, a Facebook post, a screenshot, anything that speaks to the realities or perhaps the paradoxes of what they're experiencing. And that snip from Alex at the start, I think, really summed up to me what we're trying to encourage, that reflective people sort of tapping into the emotional experience, the frustration, the uncertainty, the anxiety, you know, what's going on? What does it mean for our family? What does it mean for my work? What does it mean that my social life is contracting? And leaving those traces of the present for the past actually are things that are not captured so well in, you know, official documents or digital newspapers and so on. So that everyday experience, I think, is critical. Getting, you know, the meme of the supermarket shelves being emptied of toilet paper, getting beyond those sort of stereotypes and actually encouraging more reflective responses. And we're getting a huge diversity of written, audio, images. Some of the ones that really attract me are things like people taking photos of kids putting chalk messages on footpaths in the suburbs. We're all trying to get our, you know, legitimate exercise every day. And you can see things sort of happening in the public sphere where people are trying to tap into that sort of sociability, trying to say to other, you know, members of our community, hey, I may be social distance from you, but I'm going to leave a little message for you. Those little personal touches, I think, are really, really tremendous. But people can also upload poetry, painting. There's some terrific sort of homeschooling schedules that families are having to devise to keep their kids kind of given some structure during the day.
Let's have another listen to Alex.
No Aussie rules, no AFL. I mean, that's sad. No football or soccer. So I love sport. We miss it here. It's I'm a bit of a history buff, and I'd read about these big events that would happen, and you sort of think, wow, like imagine if I was, you know, there during World War II or things like that. And now it feels like this is kind of, well, it's not quite World War II. It's certainly, or a depression, not yet. It's certainly a big event, and just trying to get a head around how quickly it's hit us is very strange.
He makes a point there that I think will resonate with a lot of people, just how quickly we've had to get our heads around what's happening. Why is it important to capture people's experiences that as they actually happen and not a few weeks or months down the track?
I think it's important to capture both of those things. And what the area of research called memory studies tells us is that we have a propensity to tell and retell stories in different ways as time passes and as we're influenced by the experience of other people telling similar stories. So capturing these stories all along the way can actually help us to analyse and explore the particularities of experience as well as the experience as a community. And also, as the website, the Journal of the Plague Year website does, it's a global website, so we can compare and contrast what's happening in Australia with what's happening in North America. There are entries from India. There's material from South America, from Peru, from France, from Italy. So it helps us to get that sense of, look, we are all in this together in some way, but, hey, you know, our experiences are very different to, say, the experiences of someone in New York or Lima. But I think that point about people really feel like they're living through a really sort of peak historical moment, which is, I think, what attracts people to want to leave their trace in this moment. I think another aspect of it is, while we're in a kind of a traumatic situation or a peak sort of moment of disaster like this, it's actually sometimes hard to, you know, tell the story about it because the story hasn't actually finished. And trauma tends to have a kind of a narrative arc to it. And I think we're still very much in the kind of getting through the shock moment and partly the denial moment. And this has got a long way to travel in actually documenting the total experience that enables us later on to really reflect on that journey that we had through it.
Fiona, your project just wants photos. No captions, no information, just photos. Why?
Yeah, so I suppose because we are a photographic festival and we're connected globally to other photographic festivals, the medium of choice for us is photography. We feel very strongly that the photograph should be able to tell the story in that particular image. And we know from the history of photography that there's always been the documentary and the art-based photography. And here what we're looking at is different people from all around Australia, from all different places, everywhere from Wagga Wagga to Ballarat to Tamarama to Perth, are all representing the narrative and documenting content specifically related to their local experiences of the COVID-19 crisis. And what we're finding is that image can actually tell the story really, really well. There's more than 15,000 photographic posts as part of this hashtag mass isolation project that, like Andrew's project, is global, but we here in Australia are just documenting the Australian condition and the Australian story. And what we're finding is that people are really, really telling all kinds of stories, from the very simple humanitarian stories where an artist like Ponch Hawks has uploaded a photo of some cooked food left at the front door, which is an incredibly quiet photo and a simple way to show kindness, right through to the sort of the influence of digital technology, where we've got lots of images of FaceTime and Zoom parties, and of course the very cliche looking through the windows at empty streets and lots of empty streets as well.
And I know it's part of a bigger project too, so how will ultimately, you know, as it kind of expands globally, will the pictures be used?
Well, we're explaining to people who are posting the images that these images will be captured hopefully for eternity. So we're looking already now at the possibility of how do we conserve these images, because currently they're on Instagram, but we always know that technology changes over decades and over centuries. So we're planning to preserve these images in some format, but also our festival is in August next year in 2021. So we're hoping to do an exhibition of a small component of them. We've got two curators curating the Instagram feed into our Instagram page already. So if listeners want to see what we're doing, you can go to the hashtag MassIsolationAUS page to see the thousands of images that are being uploaded. But also you can go to the Instagram page, which is MassIsolationAUS, to see which images the curators are selecting in this period of change that are going to be exhibited, hopefully around Australia, but firstly in Ballarat.
The lockdown could go on for months, so let's stick to the here and now. Can you describe what people have sent through to you already? Is there a common thread, for example?
There's quite a few common threads. I mean, there's lots and lots of, you know, teddy bears in windows. There's lots of photos of, you know, empty streets around Australia. So it's quite nice to document the different major cities and seeing how they're looking without people and cars. There's lots of photos of people with masks, lots of photos of families standing within door frames. So it's interesting that you might not connect in any other way, but themes appear through unconnected stories. It's quite interesting to see.
What if someone has a photo that documents their lives, but it's not like a perfect photo? It might be a bit blurry or not framed well. Do you still want it?
Yes. Why, the interesting thing.
Why do you want these flawed photos?
This is a public record. This is not my record. This is not the Biennale's record. This is a record for everyone within the community who wants to tell their story through a photographic image to upload that image. So we're not editing anything on the Instagram feed. Everybody is welcome to post those stories. Now, generally, if we're curating an exhibition, or if I'm curating an exhibition for a festival, for an exhibition, we'd look at colour and composition and all the kind of elemental rules of photography. But here it's a very different story. We all arrived sort of very suddenly in mass isolation, and I am actually part of this story. I'm not someone who's outside this story kind of engaging with the story. I also am locked up in this house. So it's actually really interesting to see how everybody responds. So for the first time, yes, we don't care about the composition. We actually want the narrative. We want people to feel that they can be part of this particular point in time and be part of this time capsule.
You're listening to The Drawing Room on RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis, and my guests are Fiona Sweet, who's the Artistic Director of the Ballarat International Photo Biennale, and Professor Andy May, a social historian from the University of Melbourne. And they're both coordinating citizen history projects about everyday people's lives during the coronavirus pandemic. Andy, I wonder if you reflect on the fact that in 100, in 200, 300 years, when we're all gone, catch you later, we'll be gone, the fact that people will be looking at this, this will be part of sort of the history lessons for people.
Well, I think if we go by the interest that people have had in the 1919 Spanish flu, which is a bit of a touchstone, I think, globally for the contemporary experience of COVID-19, I think that's an indication that the more kind of record and traces that we can leave, both of that personal experience and communal experience, and the ways that that individuals and groups and institutions and governments coped and responded, that will actually become an important and effective means of communicating some of those enduring dynamics of a crisis to the future. We know a fair bit about the 1919 Spanish flu. We've got, you know, reasonable numbers of how many people sort of died globally. We've got newspapers and sort of government records. But to be honest, we don't have a lot of information about how it affected us individually. There's no such thing as a sort of an imperfect contribution. The kind of curation of this and the analysis of it comes much further downstream, if you like. We have an option in the Journal of the Plague Year website where you can tick a box that when you're uploading the material that says whether you want it to be made public immediately or whether you want it to be private, so it just sits in that archive for people in the future to be able to have access. So what what that's encouraging is responses that actually speak to some issues that are much more sensitive. For example, a number of people have uploaded material about the kind of racism that's prevalent in Australia, particularly in terms of the Chinese community. They may not be things that they want to be identified with or make public in 2020, but for that to sit in the record in the future will actually be an important and very authentic record of the kind of actualities of experience that sometimes get glossed over, I think, in these sort of projects.
Fiona, are you expecting to see changes in the way people perceive isolation the longer and it goes, and the eventual recovery too? We hope for the recovery. We're all begging for a recovery. Will that change the dynamic?
Yes, look, we can't see it yet. And sometimes, of course, as we know, we don't really see the actual change until we are further away from the event. But I am expecting that the longer we are in lockdown and the longer we're removed from our day-to-day activities, that the photographic representation of our lives, I'm assuming, will change. I know from a personal experience that, you know, some days are fantastic and I feel really happy to be, you know, quietly at home working without, you know, all the chaos and noise of an office. But many, many days I feel quite alone, a little bit isolated, and also a little bit concerned about what the future holds. And I think that those feelings should be reflected and hopefully be seen in the next few months. Of course, it's the same thing for all sort of social media, and I'm sure it's the same with Andrew with his website, is that we need the masses of people to know about these sites so that we can get this huge volume of people responding from all around Australia so that we can actually start to see trends and ideas.
I would love to go into a time capsule and make it 10 years later to know how this turns out. Don't you want to know how this is going to turn out?
Maybe a year later I'd be happy with that.
Look, I want to thank you both for coming in. Fiona, before we let you go, though, people can see the photos submitted now on Instagram, right?
That's right. All you need to do is just type in hashtag mass isolation AUS, which stands, of course, for Australia, and up comes the list of all the photographs, and you can choose to like them if you like, and you can choose to comment on them. So the beautiful thing about Instagram as a mass media is that people can engage immediately. And then if they want to see the curate, what we've taken from that to start this sort of nominal curated piece, they can go to the @massisolationAUS and see what the curators are starting to pick out.
Exciting stuff. Hey, guys, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Fiona Sweet is the Artistic Director of the Ballarat International Photo Biennale and Professor Andy May, a social historian from the University of Melbourne. We'll put a link up to those projects so that everyone around the country can have a look, from the tropical north right down to the southern tip of Tassie. We want everyone to get involved because we're actually living in history. That's it from me tonight. I'm Patricia Carvelis. It's so lovely to have your company as we're isolating. It's not really isolated at all when we're hanging out here on RN Drive, is it? I'll be back at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Until then, I'm going to leave you with Alex, the librarian.
Don't know what else to say apart from I hope everyone stays well, and big love to all of you.